welcome to the Menstrual Mental Health Podcast. I'm Mary Nordahl, and I'm here to help you get the most out of life and teach you everything I've learned as a certified fertility awareness instructor with a bachelor's in clinical psychology. And on this podcast, I'll be sharing the menstrual mindset shifts you need to become the best version of yourself and finally live the life of your dreams. Hello there. Welcome to episode 4, Exercises for Stress and Anxiety. I recently held a poll on my Instagram page because I couldn't decide which topic to record next, and this idea won by a long shot compared to all the other titles that I have lined up. So at the time of this recording, I'm currently on cycle day 23. I confirmed ovulation about 5 days ago. So I have officially entered into my luteal phase where progesterone is the dominant hormone. And one thing that I love about progesterone is it really helps us hone in on detail-oriented tasks and just gives us this extra incentive to want to complete tasks. So when I looked at my to-do list and it said record podcast, I wasn't scared. I wasn't running away. I said, let's just cross it off. Let's do it. So here we are. So in this episode, we're going to define anxiety and stress. We're going to look at how it shows up in your menstrual cycle and leave you with some tips and tricks for managing stress and anxiety in your day-to-day life. Cool? If you said cool in response to me, I love you. You are my person. Please interact. Talk to me. Tell me, what are you thinking today? Before we get to all this juicy information, I just want to open it up by letting you know who is sponsoring this episode. It is Fertility Awareness Path, my business. Fertility Awareness Path is my online education platform where I run several programs that are designed to help women gain control of their fertility, their health, their mood, and their energy levels. And this is for women who work a 9-to-5 job, or a college student, or an entrepreneur, or you want to become an entrepreneur one day, who live in the US, Canada, France, Germany, anywhere really. And my specialty is productivity. My specialty is taking your menstrual cycle and using it as your ultimate time management system. So teaching you how to tap into your cycle superpower, even on the days when you have your period, so that ultimately it allows you to get more done in your day, to get the most out of your waking hours in a way that is simple, straightforward, and gets you one step closer to the life that you've always dreamed of having. And I'm excited to invite more of you to come into this program. I'm opening up more spots right now, and you can go to fertilityawarenesspath.com and apply to be a student. Inside of the application process, you'll have an opportunity to book a call that goes deeper into your goals and dreams. So my recommendation is that when you book that call, you come prepared. You have a quiet place to sit, listen, take notes. This is more than a discovery call about the program. It's really about what you want to accomplish with your time. What obstacles are standing in the way of your big vision for yourself? That's what's most important to me. And if it looks like we're a good fit to work together, then we're going to explore what those options are. So you'll learn about the investment, how to get started, all the details that you might be wondering at this point, you can find them at my website. So apply to join as a student, and I'll see you there. So to kick us off, let's define these little buggers, shall we? What is anxiety? I mean, even the word itself is just dreadful, right? Because that's exactly what it is. It's a feeling of dread, uneasiness, and fear. That's the root of anxiety, is fear or worry. And avoidance is the easiest way to control it. So anxiety is on a spectrum. The most severe anxiety manifests in phobias, but anxiety is a common reaction to life events like an exam or public speaking that cause you to sweat or feel restless and tense, snap at people, your loved ones, a knot in your stomach, or have a rapid heartbeat. And this happens because essentially you're stressing about things that are about to happen or might happen, where you almost imagine the worst things that could possibly occur, or you're just really nervous about something that's about to happen. And I was recently watching a documentary where they were talking with families where their children have more severe anxiety disorders. And this mom was being interviewed and she said that it's so hard to watch someone who is uncomfortable living in their own skin. That really hit home for me because that definitely describes the moments in my life where I've been nervous. I've been anxious, socially anxious, or just anxious about a test or whatnot. This uneasiness is essentially the complete opposite of peace and trust and surrender and just allowing whatever is going to happen in life. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that you can actually control in life is how you react to it. So in trying to control the situation by imagining everything and trying to play it all out and wondering how it's all going to happen and trying to control it in that way, or controlling it by avoiding thinking about the thing and just doom scrolling or binging or eating, all of these things are just a way of feeling in control of the things that are making us anxious and uncomfortable, but really the true source of control is by accepting the fact that you do not have control. What a paradox. What a freaking paradox. Now, in some cases, anxiety can be rooted in trauma. So that could be from childhood, accidents, disasters, medical trauma, violence and abuse, or traumatic losses. This episode will not be diving into that deep-seated trauma, but if that list resonated with you, I highly encourage you to seek therapy to get some support in processing those events of your life. The exercises that we'll be covering in this episode, paired with therapy, will be the ultimate magic potion for healing and moving beyond your trauma. So we just covered anxiety, okay? Let's just put that off to the side here because we need to talk now about stress. And stress is also a feeling of emotional or physical tension that can come from an event or a thought that makes you feel frustrated or angry or nervous. I have a great mentor who I asked her once, I said, what is stress? And I wanted something other than the, it's your autonomic nervous system, da da da, you know, like I didn't want to hear that bull crap. I wanted to hear, like, give me the root cause of stress. What is it? And she hit the nail on the head, I am telling you. Stress is disagreeing with your reality. Bam. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for that. Sarah Francis, shout out. Stress and anxiety cause our system to switch into, you've probably heard this before, fight or flight mode. There's actually three that people use. So it's like fight, flight, or freeze mode. And this is a very natural reaction that our body goes into when we're in a stressful or anxious mode, where, like in the old days of cavemen, they had real danger of like a lion coming at them and they needed to flee, right? They had to flee the situation and run away from the lion. So that fight or flight mode was very helpful to keep them safe and alive, right? Here's the deal though. Fast forward to modern times, I think the large majority of us do not have to deal with a lion outside of our front door. Or let alone living in a cave where you're like sleeping with one eye open, worried about like staying alive. You did not come here for karaoke hour. Okay, here's the deal. We're not running away from lions, but our body does not recognize the difference between a lion and that email from your boss. Our body does not recognize the difference between a lion and that exam that you're preparing for. It just doesn't know the difference. It perceives any kind of anxiety or stress as stress, period. Now, we can at least create some aspect of definition for ourselves by looking at the different kind of stressors, the things that cause stress. And I'm going to read you a list, and I want you to jot down, or if you're driving, like mentally keep track of the number of times you nod your head in agreement with me and think to yourself, yeah, I'm feeling that right now, or I'm dealing with that. That is a stressor for me. All right. I want to know at the end, how many stressors were you like nodding your head? So here's the list. We've got physical health stressors. So that could be like a medical condition. That could also be PMS, mood swings. Because anytime you've got something physical going on in your body, like premenstrual symptoms, anytime you have symptoms, it's your body letting you know that your physical health is under stress. Maybe you knew that, maybe you didn't. And if you're curious to know more about that, you can head on over to my website. I have a free training all about that. You can check under free resources. I have a 1.5 hour long course called Menstrual Cycle Awareness. Hop on over. And then there's home and neighborhood stressors, so like your safety, cleanliness. There's financial stressors, work stressors, so interpersonal problems, high pressure at work. Maybe you have a very high stress, quick moving job. Another stressor would be spouse or partner stressor. So maybe you have some emotional problems going on with your partner. Child stressors, extended family stressors, friend stressors. So stress itself is an automatic response to all of those stressors, those external stressors that I just listed. It can be pressure, a feeling of tension, or an emotional response. So the brain, or more precisely the amygdala inside the brain, responds to these stressors because its job, the amygdala's job, is to keep you safe. And so a little switch goes off. So every time you like think about when you turn the light on and that little, you turn that light switch on, okay? So the amygdala goes boop, switch on to fight, flight, or freeze mode. The resulting consequence are things like your heart beats faster, your head might hurt or it feels fuzzy, you feel hot or sweaty, your stomach might hurt, it's hard to focus on anything other than what's causing your worry. So essentially, the amygdala is going to alert you to danger, even if you're all right. One way that I have started to look at anxiety and stress is that it's honestly, when we start to throw it around, like, oh, I'm so stressed or I'm kind of anxious, like, it's become this socially acceptable way of saying that you live with negative emotions, fear, worry, overwhelm, uneasiness, concern, nervousness. And too much of this can lead to or look like depression, sadness, withdrawal, avoidance, resistance, burnout. And so we turn to coping mechanisms like doom scrolling, binging food, a streaming service, maybe alcohol, drugs, even compulsive cleaning. That's like a little over the top. Maybe we're not talking OCD. That's its whole other, you know, psychological diagnosis. I'm talking like you are cleaning the shit out of your house right now. I mean, that is anxiety. If you are wiping down every little crumb, you might want to look into some things. It's a little red flag for you. When you're doom scrolling, it's a red flag. Instead of it being this mindset of like, yeah, I want to break this habit. Like, I'm tired of doom scrolling. Like, yeah, I keep turning to the cake, or I just keep binging Netflix. We can remove those things that we're using to cope. We can quote unquote stop the bad habit, but the feeling is still going to remain. We need to turn inward and recognize that everything we need to overcome these negative emotions, to deal with these negative emotions, to cope, lies within us. It doesn't lie in the phone. It doesn't lie in the TV screen. What truly is going to help you cope is looking inward. The phone or TV screen or cake is only going to delay your growth. Look at it like you're putting a boulder in your path. And if you had kept moving along and said, okay, I'm feeling a certain way, let's figure out what's going on, and you kept walking down the path, but then you put the phone in your hand and you say, I'd rather doom scroll right now. I'd rather just see what's going on Instagram. Well, what happens is a rock is put in your path, and now you've got to walk around the rock to figure out how to get back to the path. What happens is you're still going to eventually need to come face to face with yourself and get back on that main path. So why make the journey longer for yourself? Why elongate the path with more obstacles, with more rock? They might feel good in the moment, but they're not helping you get to the root of what's going on. And you're stronger than that. I promise you, you are stronger than that. And the people that you do look to who are living the life of their dreams, they still feel stressed and anxious. They still want to turn to their phone or binge Netflix. They still have those temptations. It's not like those people are completely void of stress and anxiety and temptations and wanting to put that rock in their path. No. What they know now is how to recognize this rock coming down and into their path, how to recognize stress and anxiety and what to do about it, so that they don't have to take a longer path back to themselves, so that they can shorten that journey, get back on the road, and stay on the path towards the life of their dreams. And the more that they practiced that, the easier it got. They're not more special than you are. They just stayed committed and determined and made a conscious choice and a decision to choose their dreams over temporary comfort. That's it. That's the magic button. And when you can recognize that, recognize when you're anxious and stressed, that's half the battle. And there's certain times in your cycle when anxiety and stress are going to be inflamed. There's times in your cycle when you're going to be more stressed and anxious and sensitive to the external stressors that we talked about earlier, where it's just going to be a little bit more difficult for you to be resilient and bounce back from those external stressors that are coming at you. And so that's why this episode is here to prepare you with knowledge, as well as exercises or tools, tips, and tricks to put on some extra armor, so that when those stressors come at you, it kind of softens the blow and they almost bounce off of you because you have that armor on you. There's two major phases of the cycle where you can expect to find some anxiety and stress, some proclivity to anxiety and stress. There's the follicular phase and the luteal phase. The follicular phase is the first half of your cycle, from the first day of your period until ovulation. And then the luteal phase starts the day after ovulation until your next period. In the follicular phase, estrogen is the dominant hormone. And as estrogen is rising, getting closer and closer to the point of ovulation, it can tend to have this reaction in our body where I heard this tip once that estrogen is like drinking a cup of coffee. So each day that estrogen is rising, you're getting more and more caffeine. You're taking in more energy, and that can start to translate for us into some anxiousness, some anxiety. This is where I like to suggest to women to get that energy out through their body. Estrogen in the follicular phase is already giving you extra energy to want to move your body, to want to go to the gym and get sweaty and just run. So if you feel anxious, use that to your advantage. Get that energy out. Go to the gym. Go for a run. Dance. One of my favorite ways to get that anxiousness out is to put some music on in my kitchen. My kiddos will be eating lunch and they just stare at mom dancing in the kitchen and singing my lungs out. And that really helps me to come back to a state of homeostasis where I've hit that reset button and I feel less anxious. Then in the luteal phase, the dominant hormone is progesterone. And there's a couple things that happen in the luteal phase. Right after ovulation, estrogen is no longer the dominant hormone. It's passing the baton over to progesterone. And estrogen is really helpful for increasing serotonin, the happy hormone. So when estrogen is passing that baton, there's this dip in estrogen, and it can create some irritability and just feeling a little off where we're just transitioning as we're waiting for progesterone to increase. And progesterone is actually a very calming hormone, but sometimes that transition can feel a little disalarming to our bodies and to our mental health. And then towards the very tail end of our luteal phase, when we're in the premenstrual phase, those days leading up to your period, all hormones are declining. And this is what causes us to feel a little bit more sensitive and vulnerable. And those external stressors that we were able to handle in the height of follicular phase with estrogen, and we feel much more resilient in the follicular phase, we don't feel that as much in those days leading up to our period. And we could maybe sit and wallow about how frustrating that is to be a woman and to have to deal with that hormonal fluctuation, or you can use that knowledge to empower you to prepare for that fluctuation and that dip in hormones and put on some extra armor to soften the blow. And that's what we're going to get into. Before we dive into the different exercises for stress and anxiety, there's an aspect of knowledge and learning, and then there's putting it into practice so that it goes beyond this podcast and into your daily life. Because clearly you've shown up. You've clicked on this episode because there's something inside of you that wants to change. You want to feel less stressed and anxious. So go ahead and learn, take notes, and then put it into action. Find an accountability partner. DM me and say, yo, I listened to your podcast and I'm gonna start implementing this exercise for 1 week. That's it. Not a month, not a whole year, like those silly New Year's resolutions. I'm talking 7 days, 168 hours to be exact, which, you know, if you actually take into account like how many hours you're awake in those 7 days, it's actually more like 128 hours. So as you listen to the rest of this episode, think about what your 128 hour challenge is going to be. And as we said earlier, anxiety and stress turn the switch on inside your amygdala. So let's get some strategies for turning that switch off. And there's essentially 4 categories of managing stress and anxiety. Number 1 is creativity. Number 2 is reflection. Number 3 is lifestyle. And number 4 is calming the mind. So when we're talking about creativity, that's arts and crafts. Maybe that's coloring or a creative hobby that you have. Or maybe it's just dancing. That could be fast dancing to your favorite song where you're jumping and moving around. Or it's just this like gentle shimmy where you're moving your body just enough to get that stress and anxiety out. Then when it comes to reflection, the biggest thing here is helping us to become aware of our triggers. So reflection would be something like a journal, or even calling a friend or a family member or working with a mentor to help you process those triggers, to be aware of what triggered you and how you can move through and process it to come out the other side, instead of turning to the phone or binging something. You're really rolling up your sleeves and reflecting. My biggest piece of advice here that helped me overcome anxiety was replacing anxiety with purpose. And that can look like a bunch of different ways. That can be reflecting on your dreams. And they can be as outlandish as you want them to be, or they can be as simple as, what is your goal for today? What is your goal for this week? It can look like a dream board. It can look like typing up the vision of your ideal self and posting it somewhere so that you'll see it every day. It can look like anything that resonates with you and switching it up. I have a dream board that I look at in my office, and every now and then I move it. It's movable. So I move it around the office or even put it into my bedroom so that it's fresh, it's new, it's exciting. Otherwise, sometimes those dream boards can start to blend in with your landscape. So that was number two. Number three is lifestyle, which includes things like nutrition, exercise, or even yoga, and taking care of your sleep routine. One thing that I want to add to this category of lifestyle is CBD. That was really helpful for me at one point in my healing journey to see what it was like to not be stressed and anxious. It helped me transition from a constant state of anxiousness to peace. It was kind of like a crutch. Think about when someone breaks their foot, they use crutches to help them heal. And CBD is also a crutch that helps you heal and transition to a more peaceful state. It's okay to use crutches. It's not something that you're going to depend on for the rest of your life. It's just supporting you in your healing journey. And then finally, we have calming the mind. So these are some really big tools that I have cultivated in how I handle my stress and anxiety as I transitioned off of using things like CBD. When we're talking about calming the mind, these are tools like meditation, mindfulness, breathing, visualizations. And at the core, what they're trying to do is help you to get out of your mind and back into the body. We spend way too much time in the mind, overthinking, analyzing, stuck in the past, thinking about the future, worrying about the future, and we're forgetting to live right now. All we have is right now. So why allow ourselves to become distracted? Really, what happened is we've just been trained to think a lot. There's this disconnect. We've been trained to think that the mind is separate from the body. But if there is anything that I have gained from tracking my menstrual cycle, it is that that is a total lie. The mind and the body are intimately intertwined. And when we can quiet the mind and come back into the body and repair that relationship by being in the now and being present to what is going on, that is when we get the fullness of life. That's where picking up the phone is no longer attractive. Binging on Netflix is no longer attractive. because you'd rather live than scroll away. And this is why meditation and practicing mindfulness, practicing visualizations can help you to build the skill set of strengthening your ability to revert your thoughts, because our brain can just go do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, talking. And when we're in the moment of engaging with people, talking with customers, dealing with difficult things, dealing with difficult children, whatever, maybe I'm speaking from personal experience, maybe I'm not. Our ability to tap in to the body and slow down and breathe and stop that internal chitter chatter that's going on in our brain and come back to the body, then we're relaxed and we can handle these things that are coming at us, these external stressors that are being thrown at us left and right. But if we don't take that intentional time to build that skill and strengthen that ability, it's going to be 10 times harder to tap into that skill in the heat of the moment. So setting aside as little as 5 minutes a day to practice that skill of quieting your mind. So that's it, my dear. I'm curious, now that you've heard all the different exercises for stress and anxiety, I'll recap them real quick. Creativity, reflection, lifestyle, and calming the mind. Out of those categories, which one are you going to focus on for the next 128 hours? Let me know on Instagram, find an accountability partner, whatever it takes. You have tapped onto this podcast for a reason. You don't want to feel stressed and anxious anymore. And that tells me that you know that you are worthy of feeling good in your body, of feeling at peace, feeling at rest, feeling at ease. Because, girlfriend, you're worth it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you found it supportive in your healing journey, I'd love to hear what resonated with you the most. Hop on over to Instagram and search at fertilityawareness.path to connect with me today. I look forward to hearing all about your goals and dreams, and I'll see you on the next episode of Menstrual Mental Health.